Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Coming up in this edition of TV Black Box, the latest developments in the Bruce Lerriman defamation trial as the case is reopened. Denise Drysdale opens up old wounds in her first appearance on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and a TV star points out the elephant in the room, but a TV programmer's ready to hear it. Welcome to the podcast where people in the industry get their news recorded live in front of a streaming audience. This is TV Black Box.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is TV Black Box, bringing you the inside goss from the TV industry.
Hello there, I'm Rob McKnight. Welcome to TV Black Box. A little bit of shimmy, a bit of a shoomy as we look at the events of the TV week. Joining me for another fun-filled edition is none other than the viewer's darling, David Robbo Robinson. Hello, Robbo.
Robbo. He's left us. You know, he can't hear us.
And also with us, hello, Rob, I'll crack some inappropriate joke and see what happens. And also joining us is the viewer's advocate, Steve Mulkey Mulk. Hello, Mulk.
Hello, Rob, Robbo, and everyone. I'm coming to you from the land of the duck and jung mob tonight, and I'd like to pay respect to their elders, past and present. And I just want to tell you that I'm upset tonight.
Oh, why? Aww.
I'm disappointed. I'm in fact bordering on angry. It's 363 days until Easter and hot cross buns are out already.
I love it. Hey, Robbo, so we do have you. Now, this is the problem, Robbo. 2 minutes before we were due to go live, Robbo literally gets up from his desk, I think he's coming live from a backyard tonight. It's all a little weird. But he gets up and he goes, and Malk and I are like, do we start the show without him? And then he sits down, we think everything's right, and you couldn't hear us, Robbo.
Well, you know what? It's just one of those things where I kind of zone you out, but I'm always ready. Showbiz goes on. Look, I'm ready. I've got my jacket on. I'm the only one with the collar again. I mean, I'm the only one that makes an effort. I mean, we've got Elphaba here from the new version of Wicked, the Australian touring version of Wicked here with Rob. Very green on the outside, mate. Are you jealous or are you just playing
I fixed the green, Robbo. You're doing a joke that I fixed before TX, so it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, okay. A little inside friends, fixed before TX.
Yeah, well, we'll take some comments on that. Do you think Rob still has a green hue, a witch's hue? Let us know.
I don't think people listening on the audio podcast.
Oh, yeah. Get over the audio podcast is dead. We've got to stop doing this thing.
Audio
is dead. I mean, ask radio. No one listens to Kyle and Jackie anymore. audio and television, that's the way to go.
Declares Robbo is dead.
Crossing fingers.
Robbo, I don't know if you're aware, but I'm currently filling in for Sophie Formica on Brisbane's 4BC.
Oh.
And I'm certainly not getting Kyle and Jackie O money.
No. And there was a delay there. I don't know if it was a dramatic pause or a delay from where you remembered the station name, but I think it's great.
4KQ. Dramatic pause.
I think 4KQ is a fantastic station and people are listening in.
It's so great, Rob, that Stereo 10 released you for tonight.
And it's all true. Right. I am in a backyard and I get very excited on this show as the audio listeners.
Can we see that full frame, Mark?
Robbo, let's get Robbo up and ball. Yeah, come on.
I was going to light some candles. I didn't think we'd go full.
No, that's me. There we go.
Switch him around.
Oh, Robbo, you've left your undies hanging up in the clothesline.
No. That's why I do gymnastics there. What's that called?
It's called silks.
A silk. I do silks on that. So that's what
okay.
I do.
Okay, fair enough.
What's it called?
Here. Jackson's the floor manager. It's called silks. So you're kind of an acrobat, like Pink, that rock woman.
Do you know what? I reckon this is the worst start to our podcast, and that's really saying something. So let's get into it, because things have taken a dramatic turn in the trial brought by Bruce Lehrman against Lisa Wilkinson and Channel 10. Just 2 days before Justice Michael Lee was set to hand down his verdict, an urgent session has been held to determine whether new evidence could be submitted by Channel 10. That evidence includes allegation Bruce Lehrman leaked confidential documents to Spotlight. The new evidence comes from a former producer at Spotlight, Taylor Albrecht. Justice Michael Lee has delayed his verdict to hear the new evidence. That means the case is reopened. This is really interesting. I have obviously followed this case. You all know that I work for Spotlight. I've disclosed that. What was interesting to me about this was that the early report suggested that Taylor Albrecht, thank you. Taylor Albrecht had claimed that the five-hour leaked recording of Lisa Wilkinson and that Project Lunch, was claimed Bruce Lehrman had leaked that. Now, I haven't read the 2,000-page affidavit. I don't think that's been put up by the federal court yet because they had to redact some things. But from what I could tell by watching the live stream today at 5 p.m. Sydney time was that that allegation actually isn't in this affidavit. What is around that is the allegations that Bruce Lehrman was seen photocopying documents at Channel 7 and a photo taken on a laptop, if you look at the reflection, shows that he was in a room. And so that seems to indicate... and there was a timeline thing. Look, I think this is really interesting. I think Justice Lee made the right choice. He had to reopen it because he believes in the transparency of this case. Having said that, I think this is going to get very messy. Most people in the industry know some behind-the-scenes details about the person making these allegations. I do not think this is going to end well. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens under cross-examination. And look, Bruce Lehrman has denied giving documents to Channel 7. That is what has to be tested. This affidavit has to be tested in a court of law, but I do think it's going to get messy either way.
So to add to the list of allegations now, he's an alleged document sharer.
Yeah, but the documents alleged to have been shared are the confidential documents.
Yeah, no, I understand.
From the AFP.
That's the issue in play, is that he's allegedly shared these documents. I'm just trying to tie it together.
Hold on.
Surely
as part of the deal, any kind of documents, everything that he has is being bought. We're talking about checkbook journalism here. So obviously Spotlight is going, look, we're going to pay your rent. We're going to pay this money. We want
give you a massage.
But you can't force someone to hand over confidential court documents.
You can pay them for it, though.
But you know, they still
confidential.
Hang on, they are under an obligation not to hand those documents over to anyone. You are under.
And the great thing is, the current affair, 60 Minutes Sunday Night, and Spotlight have never aired confidential paperwork ever in the entire time that Australian television has been broadcasting.
We know that outlets have been given confidential documents, but point is Bruce Lehrman has said in court through his lawyers that he did not do this. So what this case is about, and to go back to the Lisa Wilkinson, there's two things. This case is about discrediting Bruce Lehrman's credibility. I wouldn't have thought that was overly an issue. As a witness, he was very
hard.
He lacked credibility on the witness stand, but then so did Brittany Higgins. They both got caught out in lies and giving false evidence. So I think, to be honest, both of them will be handed down as uncredible witnesses. But the key here is that I revealed this today, that regarding the Lisa Wilkinson audio, the only person who knows where that came from, unless it was anonymous, is the executive producer, Mark Llewellyn. I am told, quite reliably, he did not tell any of the production staff, he has not told his bosses, because he's a journalist who keeps his sources.
Sure.
So the idea that anyone knew how he got that audio recording is disingenuous at the best, because he hasn't revealed it to anyone.
Yeah, which I understand that, but surely... As a journalist, and Mark Llewellyn is amazing, there's no doubt about that. But if you get that kind of document or that kind of recording or anything like that, any kind of media, You have to run it through legal first.
It did so get
other
run
people
legal.
Did know about it. You have no, to run it through legal.
Channel 7 are not under examination here. They got.
I know that,
stuff.
But as a journalist getting a story, and you've got these content, you've got this source. You can't run anything without going through legal.
Yeah, but they did run through legal. There's nothing wrong.
So
with
So other people did know about it.
No, but they don't know the source. That's what I'm saying. When they put this audio recording of Lisa Wilkinson into the story, I'm sure it went through legal. It did all the checks and balances, but that doesn't mean he revealed his source.
No, of course not, but I'm just saying that he wasn't the only person who knew in the network, so that means that there are other people that could have leaked
I'm
it.
Confused. The whole point here, Robbo, is who knew, because the original reports were Taylor Albrecht, was claiming to know that Bruce Lehrman had handed over the audio recording of Lisa Wilkinson. As far as I can tell, that hasn't been proven, and I'm saying to you that was the source of that material, the Lisa Wilkinson five-hour tape, was never revealed to anyone.
Except for legal, though?
No.
Right. Okay. I'm confused by that, but okay.
No. All legal have to do is say, can we run this? They make a decision. It doesn't matter where the source is from.
No, I understand.
And they don't,
it, that means that
they don't necessarily need to hear it to clear it, Robbo.
Yeah, I know they that, but say, other people had access to it. So I think Rob's saying is that only Mark Llewellyn had access to this information. He was the only person on production, the only person within the network. Well, he wasn't. Surely he went it through legal. Or if he didn't run it through legal, isn't that kind of odd in this day and age?
Look, I don't know that he didn't tell legal, but it's my understanding he told no one.
The long and the short of it is this is a high-profile media case that we were expecting a judgment on that now the judgment's
on
had
Thursday.
To be, yeah, the now the judgment's had to be delayed because of this new evidence that's come to light that could very likely cause pretty serious change of gears to the judgment, and specifically for Bruce Lehrman in this situation, and of course for the person that's brought forward the content.
I'm not really sure that it will. The Justice Michael Lee said he will hand down his verdict next week now, and Thursday will actually be when we start to hear evidence. So replies to subpoenas are due at 9:30, and then at 2:15, Taylor Auerbach. Sorry, Taylor.
He's a longtime friend of the podcast.
I actually worked with him at Spotlight for a very short time. I just didn't get to know his last name. he will take the witness stand at 2:15 Sydney time. Cross-examination might happen that afternoon from Lehrman's legal team. Otherwise, it will happen Friday, probably Friday on top of anything that happens Thursday. So
it's interesting in the most Chinese proverb way, right? Like it's become just another interesting chapter in a really interesting case that has not gone well for the people who have continued to bring it.
Yeah, it's as Dylan Milton says, it's the story that continues to give, and that is certainly true. All right, as first revealed right here on this very podcast, Denise Drysdale has entered the I'm a Celebrity jungle. And it didn't take long for Ding Dong to start talking about the infamous Brussels sprouts incident.
We were filming a bloody Christmas song, and I've got the turkey and the Brussels sprouts on this tray, and we did it 11 times. And at one stage I turned around and Ida was just sitting over in the corner, and I picked up a Brussels sprout and I lobbed it. I didn't throw it, I lobbed it. Unfortunately, it lobbed right on her red Chanel suit and she wasn't happy. But there was so much publicity for it, I could not believe it. And if I'd have known at the time how much publicity, I would have thrown the turkey.
That is a funny line. Look, Robbo, I get why people are fascinated by this, but it really did drive a wedge between the cast and crew of Studio 10. It wasn't light, and it certainly wasn't a lob. You were there. I've got the footage, but it wasn't a lob.
No, it wasn't a lob though, Rob, but, everyone deserves their truth, and obviously this is...
No, they don't. The truth is the truth.
Well, then what happened there? What's your truth of this?
She pelted it at Isa.
And it was a Carla Sampatti, by the way. She was wearing a Carla Sampatti and it hit her in the shoulder. It left an oil mark. It wasn't even bloody cooked.
Robbo. No,
cooked. Robbo, it was cooked, but it had it was dipped in butter, like it had a butter surrounding it because the grounds where we shot it, they cooked up everything and it was a buttered Brussels sprout and that's why it left a big stain.
None of the food was fully cooked because it kept the colour. So none of the food was fully cooked and that's why it hurt, Ita, because it wasn't a fully cooked Brussels sprout. It was actually still a hard Brussels sprout. But do, Rob, tell us your memories, though, as to why it possibly could have taken 11 takes.
Because Denise was drunk?
Oh, what?
What?
That's where you were going with it.
No, it wasn't. I didn't know it was 11 takes. So we were in that very small room. There was lots of people and it was very hot. We had started filming, I think, at an ice rink, I think at probably 6 a.m. So we'd been at an ice rink from 6 a.m., I think, until about maybe even after lunch, I think. I from memory, I don't know. I think we had lunch at the grounds. We then moved in. They had this lovely room. It was beautiful, but
small, but beautiful.
Very small. Only, you know, on-air cars could fill it, and it was filled very quickly. There were some lights and only the cameraman. So you yourself, producers and everything were outside because it just wasn't it wasn't big enough to house everyone. It became a challenging shoot throughout the day.
Mm. Well, I almost sent someone home because they really weren't up to it, but it was that moment, you just got to get this last shot and then I can put her in a cab.
Well, I remember what happened was this happened and everyone went quiet. It was like, you know, it was silence. There was so much noise in there, lots of people, it was heated and then everyone went quiet and no one said anything. And then you just hear this... And Rob opens the door. All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick five here. And then the queen, the beautiful woman, Ita Buttrose, does this slow
stand up.
And out she goes, and she had to talk to you, and I was not privy, obviously, to that conversation.
It was a day. And ultimately, I think part of that was wrapped up in why I ended up getting the boot from 10, because it did lead to a division and there was a chink in the armour and 10 took advantage of that. I know it's light and froth for a lot of people, but it was indicative. They were at opposite ends of a long table. It wasn't a lob. It wasn't done in jest. And look, Denise did a lot of great things for Studio 10. I was the one who brought her on and she made classic TV moments. The problem is she didn't actually like being part of a team, you know. And I tried to give Denise, you know, what grinds my gears. I try and give her segments and breakout bits because one, she's very very funny, but I don't think it was ever enough. And she probably felt, and I think she felt, she was living in Ita's shadow because Ita had been there as part of the original four, and there was always that tension. But that moment was the beginning of the end of Studio 10, really, because I think it just showed if it had been someone else, you probably could have gotten away with it, but we knew how Denise felt about Ita, and so whether it was an accident or not, it just spoke volumes. And I don't know if there was an apology, Robbo. I don't remember one, but I'm not going to speak to that.
I don't think so. I think maybe in the
press. I did get through that door very fast because I was watching. Yeah. I couldn't fit in there with the camera, with the Steadicam, and I was on the outside. I was outside the room.
There were so many people because we were trying to frame out the crew as well. And, you know, God bless, love the crew, but it was that tight that you couldn't move, that, you know, the cameras couldn't move that much. I believe there was a network apology. You know, a spokesperson said, sorry. It was this, the Brussels sprout heard around the world. And I agree with you. It was that's what started to end the magic that we had at that time. I also think there were people who couldn't play as a team. I think there were people who could absolutely play as a team. It was really sad. And that day, and I think you would speak to this, Rob, that day, because It was meant to be really fun. It was big budget. You know, no other morning show was doing it. They hadn't been doing it.
Yeah.
This was, I think, our third video. It'd gotten bigger and better every single year. And this was,
the fourth.
And this was, you know, we had graphics. We had two locations. We had, you know, skating extras. We had
a giant green screen on an ice rink.
That's right. We had, you know, all this chroma key. It was a really, really fun time. But there were people that were there that were just, I think, annoyed to be there and continued to be annoyed throughout the shoot. But everyone else was having a really good time. It was a long shoot.
It was a great shoot. And we were doing crosses back to Studio 10.
But we were doing really fun stuff that set us a bloody part. And the thing is, I think by the fourth time, we knew that, yes, it takes a long bloody time. We repeat the songs, you've got to mouth the songs, you've got to do all of this. But when we go to air it, everyone that put the effort in was happy to be part of it, you know. So on-air people can be a little bit shirty sometimes. Oh, well, do I need to do it the fourth time? Well, you do. When they see themselves on that fourth take mixed with the third take in the edit, they friggin' love it. And I promise you that. That was the biggest thing. And I think by the fourth time, the originals that we were understood and respected and enjoyed it. It was a tough shoot, and it got tougher because of a few people. I don't know. Look, you know what? It makes me kind of sad, because I think that was the beginning of the end in some ways. I think that there were some egos.
The end was probably coming before that, to be honest. No,
yeah, but the egos, there were egos there on that shoot that were too big. Look, you know, it really affects me, because I loved that show and I love being on it. It was a tough shoot, and it shouldn't have been.
No. Look, it's interesting, and people still have fun with Brussels Sprouts Gate. People say, how can you talk about it, Rob? Well, when I got sacked from Channel 10 and they decided not to pay me because they were just being mean, and I had to actually sue them, which, you know, who wants to do that? Like, you know. But anyway, when it was all settled, I did have it in writing that I – and free to talk about Brussels Sprouts Gate. I actually have that in writing, that I am not precluded from being able to speak about that. Now, I don't know if I'm allowed to show the footage I have. It has a big...
Please tell me you've got it. Play it now.
Oh, I've got the footage.
Play it.
I've got the I can't, because it's got a big thing for legal purposes, or it's got some big bit of writing through
Jellyfish.
The middle. But, you know... At the right times at Christmas, I pull it out and show it on the telly.
Hey, what about the vision, though? What about the vision? Do you pull the vision out?
Yeah, and then I show Denise Pelsingizer with the Brussels sprouts. Anyway, it was a time and a place, and things have moved on.
I've been very open about this. I want you to be a bit more open about it. How do you feel about that day? Because I still feel emotion, because I've watched that video many times as you have. It's great. It was fun. We're all having a good time. Explain to me, though, your feelings on that day.
I hate the fact that happened, because that led to a series of things. The video was never made. Things got very nasty, to the fact where when they actually cut the video together, they did nothing like the whole script that I had. You know, I had that whole video shoot scripted, like every shot. We knew what was happening. They rearranged it. At one point, they talked about changing the song completely.
But there were angers on both sides. I'm talking about the shoot. There were angers on... So forget the edit for a minute, because obviously there was anger there. You'd left and all that.
Actually, the biggest thing I'm angry about is the edit. But
okay. I want you to talk about the shoot, though, because the Brussels Sprout Gate was on the shoot. Talk to me about
until,
the shoot.
Until the afternoon, it had been a great shoot. We had everyone on the ice with a big green screen. Where, as I said, we were doing crosses back to Studio 10 because they had a fill-in panel. Which was unprecedented to do that, but, you know.
What about the shoot? How did it feel when it happened?
I'm getting there. Okay. All right, Parky.
It feels like you keep pushing it off. I've been quite open, and I want you to be open.
You know, mate, I haven't really thought about the shoot so much, because I do remember, even early on, people saying, oh, Denise is on the champers, and I remember at the ice rink, she was getting them to put them in the fridge for her. She had her little bottles that she'd brought down from the Gold Coast, because she arrived that morning. And there were a few of them. And anyway, you know, like, Denise was being Denise and it was all fine. But there was a turning point after lunch. Either mummy had had a few too many champagnes, or she was over it. I don't know what it was, but it became a harder shoot. She couldn't mouth the. She couldn't remember the lines. Remember? Do you remember, Robbo? I don't know if you remember this. And geez, I feel like we're just rehashing old crap. I didn't mean to go down this path.
We're not though, but this is what people are talking about. Denise brought this up, so we were there. Well,
yeah. Well, I don't know if you remember this, but it was Shaken Stevens. It was the Shaken Stevens song. Snow is falling all around us, oh, right?
Having a PTSD, yep.
And what was happening in the shoot, I was standing behind the camera, literally yelling to Denise, snow is falling. And she goes, snow is falling all around us. And I, because she could not get, we were doing it in bits and pieces and she could not get the lyrics in her head. And, yeah, what do you mean, Jason? Blah, blah, blah. It's all Rob's fault. I don't get
I think
that.
He's on your side there.
Oh, okay. Love
side.
You, Jason.
I think he's on your side. Yeah, I think you're okay.
Just popped up. Anyway, we spent way too much on this, but it turned into a shit fight. And then there was tension on the set on the Monday morning, and that's where everything sort of went to shit.
What makes me sad is we had legends on that show, absolute legends from all spectrums, you know, new legends, medium legends, and long-time legends, and it's just sad that it could never work longer than it did because I think that that show might still be on air.
Well, someone, and I was going to get to this, someone asked if they still think there's a classic, and I'm sorry, it's gone off the screen so I can't see it. Someone asked, is there still an appetite for classic Studio 10? Yes, I do think there is. Studio 10 would have been very close to being number one by now, and a lot of people in the industry mock me for saying that, but we were already beating Today Extra. We had already passed that hurdle
we were on our way
to the morning show. The morning show was going to be a lot tougher. There was no doubt about that, but the trend was in our favour.
But we were doing different things. That's the freaking point. We were doing these massive Christmas shoots. We would do different things. We did the Bold and the Beautiful. We did all of that. We did that weird baby thing when Sarah was pregnant.
But I do think we're boring people now, I've got to say, but I'll just leave it on this comment. Jeanette, who was an audience member, said, she was very jolly. I remember this so well. This was after lunch when you got the audience included because if you remember, Robbo, we had this, and I forgot this bit, the Studio 10 family audience members were there to be part of the shoot because we wanted to include them.
Indeed. And which we always did on the rooftop as well.
Yes.
Was it on the rooftop?
And I don't know where we ended up with that. Anyway. Long time ago, a lot of water under the bridge, but it's good that Denise can still dine out on it. And guess what? So can we. We're all carving up this turkey, aren't we? And we're all having a slice tonight.
Hey, Daily Mail, I hope you're listening. All right, keep going.
All right, let's move on. Because
let's bring Mog back in if we can.
Yes, come on in, Mog. Because despite
hi, Ryan. Remember me? Hey.
Well, anyway, despite some criticisms from Mog, this is why we need him in over Eats Easter programming, Seven has won the first week of the two-week non-ratings period. Seven came away with 29.38%, over Nine's 27.6%. Mog, you weren't that impressed with the 1% Club UK being played, but it did beat Nine's all-new Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars.
Yeah, when we talk broadly about the ratings week, it's really two halves, right? It's Sunday to Wednesday, and then it's Thursday to Saturday. Because largely, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is when we get the AFL and the NRL in, and they aren't basically unbeatable. Certainly the AFL almost is. And so it's that front half of the week that can really set the tone. And with Nine dropping back to Married at First Sight only on Sunday and Monday, in the hope that Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars Australia would step up and, you know, solidify, take Tuesdays and Wednesdays for them, which would have seen Nine take the week. They're in the shit because Food Stars Australia is really underperforming for them.
What happened there?
I don't know, honestly.
I've been told Nine knew it was a shit show, which is why they did it. They're burning it over Easter.
Very likely. Well, because it was meant to go like end of ratings year last year, and for them to hold it and drop it in the, you know, the start of a non-ratings period is doesn't offer much sort of confidence, does it?
No, it doesn't. Unless they were trying to build an audience, perhaps.
Well, look, but it's only a really short run anyway. Because we're dropping, you know, people like flies, and it's really quickly we're going to bring it together. I've been really enjoying it as a show. I've seen the first four already, so tonight's episode, tomorrow's episode, and I'm still really into it. I like the way it has developed. I definitely like Janine Allison, Gordon Ramsay, and those, you know, mentor kind of, you know, boss roles that they play. I like that it's effectively all of the good parts of The Apprentice and none of the bad stuff. What's just happened, and I think, dare I say it, it might actually be the audience, the audience's view on Gordon Ramsay, that they just think he's aggressive and so I'm not going to tune in on it. Because we've even seen the latest episode, the latest season of Kitchen Nightmares USA, which is a Ramsay vehicle, not do great business for Seven, admittedly after prime time. But, you know, is Gordon Ramsay the new Jamie Oliver?
Well, Jamie Oliver does not rate. I didn't even
sausage
have to pick my little.
Does not rate.
Sorry. Does Jamie Ramsay's Oliver great. Have sausage fingers?
He's so great in this series, yeah. Honestly. Like, that's the challenge. He's not your typical, he's not the normal Gordon Ramsay, get angry about everything and everything's wonderful. He's actually trying to be really encouraging. He does swear here and there, but he's not super sweary.
Can we please bring back Bernard King? I want to see Bernard King back
Isn't
in the kitchen.
There's
a, yes, but that's it's a thing, it's a throwback for people much older than me.
Oh, okay. So reanimate Bernard King.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
All right. A TV star points out the elephant in the room, but a TV programmer's ready to hear it. Judge Judy goes to battle against herself, and we'll find out what everyone's been watching in the TV binge box.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, thank God we're in an ad break. We're not in an ad break. Sorry, I forgot.
Don't talk over the intros.
Oh, no, I thought we were in an ad break. I was going to, you know, get my powder. Sorry, in we go. In three.
Robbo, I've now designed it that I can go straight into it. Don't interrupt the intros, love. All right. Rove McManus believes TV is ignoring the one thing that could get viewers back, live programming. Speaking to the ABC, and why would you? But he did, and he said, I'm joking. I've appeared on ABC radio many times. I'm just joking.
I've hosted ABC radio.
I will say it until I'm blue in the face. This one, ace up the sleeve that free-to-air network terrestrial television has, is live. Ask the Matildas, ask the Australian Open. Robbo,
sport.
I think he's right.
Asterisk, sport.
I think that, yes, Moppy, I agree with you. Both of those are sports, and, you know, sports obviously get a very different audience and a much more larger demographic. I adore Rove, adore everything he's done. Doesn't he have, though, a platform for an hour on a national broadcaster?
Yes, but that's what happens when you make shit live TV.
No, but that's what I'm saying, though. So if he's saying that I get what he's saying, and I appreciate it, and I agree with him. And Rob, I know you do too, and Mulkey. You know, a shiny floor, Vizard, Letterman, you know, Kimmel, that kind of thing, would love to see it back on Australian television. Well, he has essentially, and not to break it down and make it too simple, but he's got the cameras, the lights, the contacts, the contracts, the production company, the talent. Why is he not doing something? It's a bit much to say, oh, well, this is what needs to be done. Well, bloody do it then. And if you can't do it, and we remember that Rove did something on Pilot Week, and Bev McGarvey came out and said, well, if Rove can't do it, no one can. Now, all love to Rove.
Yeah, but hang on, you know why Rove McGarvey...
Rove McGarvey, exclusive. The greatest love affair never failed.
Let's break this down. Rove actually had a good pilot, right?
No, he didn't.
Said it. No, the pilot.
It was terrible. It wasn't funny.
I'm not talking about the series. I'm talking about during Pilot Week.
Pilot Week, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, and then Beth came out and said, I are going to disagree. It's not what I would have done, but I'm giving him some props. Just let me get my point out and then you can shit all over me, right?
Well, I was in the middle of my point, though. So if you want to...
You'd obviously gone too long. The ADHD kicked in, I got bored.
Thank God we're not in the same room, because I would be a dicky knee right now and I'd pop up and...
Go on, make your point.
No, keep going. Actually, I will. Just to annoy you. I think that Rove's a great talent. I think he's a great producer. I think he is a legend of Australian television.
You said all this.
Fantastic. I know that, but you cut me off, so I've got to like revamp myself and pump myself out. He's got the platform to do it. It's kind of a bit weird that he then bitches about it. We'll do something about it. There is talent in this country that could do it, who could be a roving reporter. I'm winking right now. It's not a cicada in my eye, which I will point out that many people in the comments can hear the cicadas. That's just, you know, in the background, it's just a sound effect. I don't like that he's come out and said this. I think he's...
I'm listening. Yeah, off. Just when you get to a new point, I'll pay attention.
Because he cut me off. Don't have to cut me off.
Sometimes I cut you off to save you, Robbo. but I was just going to make the point that he did a pretty decent... he did a pretty decent pilot, but the problem is Channel 10 executives came and shat all over it and then put that series to air, and it was terrible. It destroyed all the good elements about that pilot.
But the same talent all the time. So get Rose to host, but open up to new talent. So we're using talent that doesn't freaking work.
Yes.
You know, there was talent on a morning show.
No programmers are going to do that. They won't. Here's the problem. Programmers will say, oh, no one's watching TV at 9:30. That's because you're dishing up crap.
Correct.
You know, like, give us live, give us dangerous, give us something to watch, and I guarantee people will come back. And I go back to it. Yes, Studio 10 would still work in the morning. It got an audience because it was different. You, as a network programmer, and I know they're listening, and I'm sorry, you know I disagree with you on this one. We've had these conversations. But the problem is that you're essentially waving the white flag and saying, go to Netflix. I still think it can be done cheaply, it can be done well, and you could make engaging live TV every night at 9 o'clock or 9:30.
I agree with you. And what they're doing essentially is they've got a big horse farm or a big dairy farm, and they're putting no feed out and then going, well, the cows aren't coming over the feed trough. Well, you're not putting any feed out. Put some bloody feed in at 9:30 and the cows will come and eat it. But if you've got no feed in there and you go, oh, well, poor me. I hate it when networks go, woe is me, no one's watching, and they're not doing anything different. The other thing is it's not just network programmers. It's bloody producers. Producers across morning, midday, afternoon, at night. None of them are doing anything that's different. They're always doing the same thing.
I don't know.
I happen to watch a few morning programs over the weekend.
The morning show does a good job.
Oh, yeah, you work for Seven, whatever. But what I'm saying, though, is that the differences, that we're getting the same kind of interest. Well, James Bond, he's 007, licensed. You know, fuck, who cares? Do a little gag at the beginning. Do a shoot. Do a skit, do something. Don't just do an intro and then go into an interview and then go out and go, well, coming up. You agree with me. Come on. I get really angry about this. Producers now don't take any risks. They don't have any imagination, and that's what's problem with television. Yes or no? Yes or no? One answer. No.
I do see elements of that. I do. I do see elements of that.
I just don't see it. No one's taking risks or having imagination.
People aren't taking risks like we did on Studio 10, but we were like that. We had nothing to lose, right? We were the outlaws
I would suggest to you that no one now on Australian television either. Like, if you're a morning show, you have any kind of variety, you've got nothing to lose. You've got everything to gain. Take some risks.
You know, as we bring Malk back in, because Malk keeps disappearing, it's become the Robin Robbo show. What reminds me of, now that we do it live, we can't go back and redo. I've got to be honest, this is probably one of those episodes I would have said about now, I don't think this is working. We should go and redo it. And we've done that in the past, haven't we?
Yes.
Okay. No, Robbo, you're upset that I said that.
I just think that there are some things that we've talked about. And you know, I always think of a way to kind of slot that in. I think that producing in this country is just take risks. We've talked about this before. Mob, come in on this.
At the
What? It's just cookie cutter stuff. Where's the different stuff? Where's the stuff that gets you in the Daily Mail? Where's the stuff that gets you in the paper? Where is any of that stuff? It is just intro, grab, intro, interview, sot, intro, throw to the...
what are you talking about, mate? I showed my bare feet on TV a few weeks ago on the morning show. Doing crazy stuff.
Until you share your bare ass, it's not a story, Rob. The reality is, when it comes to free-to-air television in Australia, let's just keep it nice and parochial, we've let the live TV muscle atrophy. And so to get it back to speed is going to take just fucking heaps of work. Heaps of work. And it's going to take heaps of work to engage the audience in it. because
pitch a different idea. So we're going to do the 50th anniversary of James Bond. Pitch a different idea than just throwing some sots and finding an old producer.
What I'm trying to get at, Robbo, is that a one-off is not going to solve the problem.
If you want to re-engage
live TV in any kind of time slot, there's a couple of things that we're going to need. A network, particularly an executive that's going to back it, and back it for a season, like a reasonable run.
I agree with that.
Need some interesting talent to try and do some new things in that time slot every night, which is going to cost some money, because particularly if you want to
not do... Not as much as you think.
It doesn't need to.
The problem is, Rob, we're definitely going to need to employ some writers. We're going to get some people involved to... No, but... Okay, sure. I mean, don't, and watch it last for like three episodes before Doug Mulray's itself out of here. This is the problem, right? This is the problem. The muscles have gone weak. The audience don't give a shit. And until you give them something that they perceive is quality, which is going to take a lot of work and a lot of money, they're not going to care, mate. They're already off watching Netflix, Stan, Prime Video, Plus 7, 7 Plus, 9 Now, fucking everything else. They're already away.
Well, so what you're saying, Mog, is we do this. We throw in the towel.
No, I'm saying it needs an executive, it needs some great talent, it needs some money thrown at it to make it work, we need some longevity to be able to build the audience back in to make it go. I'm excited about it. Live TV is the only thing that free-to-air television has as a key point of difference to everything else.
Okay, oh my God. Okay.
Well, I'm telling you, I have pitched it, I can do it cheaply, it's much cheaper than reality TV.
Hokey brings the audience. You do not need to make it shiny floor and edit the frig out of it. Hokiness built it. Kath and Kim proved it. Studio 10 proves it. People get their shiny floor and their massive production values from Amazon and Netflix. Come back to Aussie TV. We're hokey. We don't have much money. We've got three cameras and we'll have a bloody good time.
The challenge I'm going to throw to you, Robbo, is that a morning audience is very different to the 9 o'clock audience you want to court. Very different.
Yes,
so it needs to be, admittedly, it doesn't have to go super high production, but it needs to be more than...
A couple of things, sir. So many students watched Studio 10 because they'd wake up in the morning and they liked the craziness, the liveness of it. So I do think you could translate... Yes, you do a few things differently. You translate things to a nighttime audience. Secondly, look at what I'm doing with Spotlight, the live referendum special. There's an upcoming special. We're doing live and as live with Spotlight where we're rebadging the Sunrise set and it looks completely different. We had an audience of 80 people in there recently an episode. When you see that, tell me it can't be done. You know, even that feels like a bit of live variety, even though it's not.
I understand the effort you're putting into it. It's not to negate that. The thing I want to throw in is, a spanner in the works, and I'm sorry, friends, that this conversation is now laboured. Audiences appreciate as live but don't care as much. They want it live. We're seeing
I agree 100%. I'm all about the live, baby.
I get the benefit. I understand why we do as live. Cool.
Yeah, but Spotlight is a different beast to what I'm pitching here. Spotlight,
sure. There
are some episodes that you can do as a pre-record. There are others that should be live if they're very, very topical. And, you know, we're breaking the mold on what a premium current affairs program is because what we're doing with it is, you know, we used to just do stories for an hour. Now we are doing panel discussions and you know, seriously – there is a special coming up that I produced with another producer. We got together. We've created this great piece of TV. It will be coming to your screens very soon. You'll know what it is as soon as you see it. And I think you'll see the very beginnings, the seedlings of what's possible, Monk. The seedlings. That's what I'll say to you.
And I totally get it, and I'm keen to see it for that effort, you know, for the acknowledging what it is. To bring us back right to the start, the Matildas did massive, not just because it was live, though absolutely that was something that united the nation behind them, but also because they were, sports people at the absolute peak, doing their absolute best, and they gave us something to believe in.
I think it was a furphy for him to bring sport into it, to be honest. I think that was a mistake.
But if we step beyond that and go, so where is the other opportunities for live TV? Legitimately, it stops at the project. Once we get past the project, there's nothing else live on
our TV. That is the pinnacle of our live TV.
And right now, Rob, it absolutely is, and we should be ashamed of ourselves because it is.
Agreed. It's Judge Judy versus Judge Judy. Now, there's an interesting TV battle looming in the States as repeats of Judge Judy get to go up against an all-new Judy Justice, hosted by Judy Shanlon. Shanlon? What's her last name? Judy, I threw that in.
Judge Judy Shanlon.
Shanlon, thank you.
Judge Judy Shanlon
up against Judge Judy Shanlon. The show, which was made for streamer Freebie, is now making its way to linear TV, and local TV stations are snapping up a new version rather than air repeats from CBS. I've been doing too much talking today. Malk.
Hello.
She's still got it.
I mean, yes. I mean, I don't know what you want from me here. Like, honestly, yeah, it was great. Thanks. Judge Judy made an absolute mozza when she rounded out her contract and stepped away and signed the new contract to go over to the other broadcaster that she was taking her shtick to, because it's easy afternoon TV, right? People tune in and watch that. Plus, she had a massive back catalogue because she owned it, right? She had fingers in the pies to make sure that she was in control of the things that she made. Great work, Judge Judy. Well done.
Sustained.
Oh, God. He got the cover out. Well done, Judge Judy. You deserve all the money that you can get, and she has fucking plenty of it. Well done.
And now it's time to open the TV Binge Box.
No, we heard it. Box. Yep. No, we heard it.
Yeah, we got it.
Robbo, what have you been watching?
Well, actually, tonight I've been watching my back. For some reason, I thought it might be fun to do it outside. I just saw a moth fly back.
Right,
well, it's a moth that flew past that looked like a small eagle. I can see it. There's bugs crawling over me. And apparently you can hear the cicadas in the background. I thought that was just a sound effect that you put on for your own jokes. But it was actually real life.
Jesus.
Look, I've been watching television. I think it's great. I don't think it's dead. I think it's fantastic. I think we're about to come over. It's just absolutely brilliant. I'm watching the Gary Shanlon show. Remember that? So this is behind the scenes of a talk show. Kind of
the
like
Who
a 30
show,
kind
Robert?
Of idea.
The Who? Huh? The Who?
Did I get it right?
Gary Shanlon.
Is the title right? Yeah, Shanlon.
Shandling.
Oh, well, okay, we'll do it. We'll just fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post.
So it's the Keith Shandling show. Look, I think it's a fantastic show. It's behind the scenes of a talk show, like the Letterman show. It's got 30 Rock kind of flavor to it. It's got a lot of stars that were around at the time. It's really, really good. Check that out. And, you know, that's I just think it's brilliant. The other thing that I've been watching is TV Black Box, the podcast. I mean, it's where people go to hear people rant. And it's fantastic. And, you know, we can fix the world here on this program. Anyway, in the middle there, Malcolm, what have you been watching, Malk?
Me, we always end on Malk.
Oh, sorry, because of up, Malk. Yeah, sorry. Okay, sorry. Richard, what have you been watching?
Three Body Problem on Netflix. This is a fabulous series.
That's what people call this show, a Three Body Problem.
It's the big new thing on Netflix. It's the show everyone's going to talk about. By episode 8, I think it lost a little bit of momentum because obviously the first part was all about what's going on here. I'm really excited. I assume they'll do a second series. I'm looking forward to that. And I've gotten through Foundation on Apple TV Plus.
Great.
The two episodes, two seasons. I'm waiting for season 3, but there's been production issues with that. So hopefully that will happen at some point. But that's what's been on my watch. And something I'm going to do during the week is I'm going to do some repairs and I'm going to put the wheels back on this TV Black Box podcast because they have certainly fallen off tonight and I am going to get them and put them back on.
Is this? Oh, gosh.
Malk.
Sorry. No, I can't let it go. Remember when we had to have the thing where we have to stop the whole show for Rob's rants? Remember that? It's exactly what happened tonight. So we bring you back everyone's rants or?
The only problem I have.
What rant?
You used to say, guys, we've got a Rob's Rants tonight, so I just, and that's what we're calling it. So then you'd go on and on and on. Like, mate, I
we
mean,
don't need any more, like,
sorry. There have been requests for Rob's Rant to come back. Executives have said to me, no, we like that.
Executives.
executives. Sure. I had another media executive this week tell me the show's too flabby and too long and you should cut it back. I said, we tried to do that and people hated it. We got in trouble.
Well, that executive shouldn't be an executive.
No, the executive was right from a media broadcasting point of view, but we're on the internet. People seem to like the looseness.
But by way of supporting just how off the rails this is, we have more viewers watching tonight concurrently than we have any of our night prior.
You're welcome, Robert.
I put it down to the kerchief, honestly. That's what it is, the pocket square.
Oh, it keeps going out.
That's what she said. There are a couple of shows that I want to talk about in my binge box, if it's all right, and then I'll give a couple of upmarks on the back end. The first
I'll
one
allow
is,
it.
Thanks so much. A CNN/Tom Hanks executive-produced series that has just finished up on SBS. It's called The 2010s, would you believe? A seven-hour documentary series on key issues and elements of stuff that were wrapped up in the decade that literally just finished. And it's freaking excellent. It's on SBS On Demand. You can jump up and watch all of it there. Each episode is themed around sort of a key issue. So there's an episode around the rise of protests, talking about things like the Tea Party and Black Lives Matter and Me Too and all of that stuff. There's, of course, there's conversation about politics and Trumpism and Barack Obama's, you know, presidency and all of those sorts of things. It's huge. It's really, really good. Really good. I know I talked about it before, but I cannot recommend it highly enough. The 2010s, that's on SBS On Demand right now. The other thing is that I watched... I'm a huge fan of Steve Martin. So I was
overruled that, but I'm interested in your thoughts here. Go on.
I was always going to watch the new two-part Apple TV Plus documentary series called Steve Martin. A documentary in two parts, then and now.
Yeah, and there you go. I forgot that bit.
The then component is Steve Martin's rise into stand-up and the huge following, like the massive audiences that he was getting touring his stand-up show, and ostensibly how that he just chose to end it.
Mm.
And then now moved into a lot more movies and TV production and those sorts of things. And, yeah, of course, currently has a comedy theatre show touring the world with his best friend Martin Short. The fact that he's writing and performing in a hit TV show for Disney Plus in Only Murders in the Buildings. But, of course, you know, there's a whole bunch of films that precede that. And some of them were not successes. Some of them were. I think of Roxanne as an excellent example of perfect Steve Martin film.
Yep.
But I also deeply, deeply love The Three Amigos as formative comedy for me. And that's where Steve Martin and Martin Short met. That was Martin Short's first film. Mm-hmm. And he got to step into an already established relationship in Chevy Chase and Steve Martin being mates. And here's this new guy just trying out some lines. And the rest literally is history. It's an incredible documentary series because it's not just about Steve Martin and his entertainment career and all of the things he does. There are really serious conversations with Steve Martin and his understanding of who he is.
I agree with
and,
that.
It's just an amazing look into an incredibly creative and honestly solitary mind. Steve Martin. A documentary in two parts, then and now, is on Apple TV Plus right now, and I cannot recommend it highly enough.
You know,
Miriam Margolyes calls him a "see you next Tuesday" because she worked with him on Little Shop of Horrors and thought that he was abhorrent and awful. But she appreciated that he was a comedian trying to get the, you know, every take was needed to be the best. But she thought that he was an awful person, but appreciated his talent. There's a little tidbit for you.
I don't know that if I overly trust her judgment on people. I will say,
has she got a show she's trying to promote?
Wash your mouth out right now. I will not hear a bad word.
Got issues with everyone. Thing I would say, and you'll hate me for this, Mark. Just add another thing to the list. I don't like the comedy of Steve Martin. I like him on Only Murders in the Building, and I too like The Three Amigos, but his comedy, and especially watching this documentary, I watched it too over the weekend, and I just don't find him funny. And I appreciate he was a global phenomenon. I appreciate that he was the biggest comedian. He was doing sellout stadium tours before that was a thing. I mean, the guy achieved so much, didn't change his act.
But you know what the key takeaway of that then, the first episode, is exactly what you're talking about, Rob. He struggled as a performer to find his audience.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there were so many super slick traditional stand-ups killing it. And here's this obtuse weirdo with an arrow through his head, like just doing, playing the banjo, for God's sake, like stupid things.
What is funny about the arrow through the head? Look, you can't, you know, if you don't get it, you don't get it. So there's no point explaining it to me. It's like when Robbo makes jokes. I just don't get it.
Fair enough. So, yes, they're both great series and I recommend people to them. Yeah. Quick up, Mulks.
High Country. Haven't even done the up, Mulks. Oh, God.
High Country's only getting better. It's on binge. Huge upmog for that. Shogun on Disney Plus, we're getting to the very pointy end of that. Massive upmog. I'm loving that series so very, very much. I am, again, still deeply in love with both Gogglebox and Survivor, season 46 of Survivor. Gogglebox on Lifestyle and 10. Survivor is on 9Go on Thursday nights. Upmog's there. And I'm even going to stick my neck out and put an upmulk on Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars Australia.
Wowzers.
I liked it. It's not everyone's cup of tea. One final upmulk. Really, really. Taskmaster Season 17, the UK series, is back.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Flipping excellent. So, so funny. Nick Mohammed is in it. For those of you that have seen Ted Lasso. Sorry, what?
Spoilers, I haven't seen it yet. You're
telling
me,
the cast is not a spoiler. God. Jesus. Upmog, Taskmaster. That's on binge every Friday morning.
Jason Turner. I agree, Robbo is hilarious. This is me taking the piss out of him. Okay? All right, mate?
Thanks, Daddy.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks, Papa.
There we go. There's the music. Hey, the wheels have fallen off. I promise I'll repair them. Hey. If you didn't listen to me today on Afternoons on 4BC and you then watched me now, you can still get another hour of me. In about an hour's time, I'll be on the John Stanley Show on 2GB. Feeling a little bit knackered today, I'll tell you. So watch that. And for the rest of the week, I'm doing 4BC Afternoons, filling in for Sophie Micah, 12 until 3 Brisbane time. So if you're in Sydney, you can listen, or Melbourne or Perth. Let's talk Sydney and Melbourne.
And you
can listen via the 4BC app at 1 p.m. That's when it is.
And if you want to catch me, I'll be on Zinc FM tomorrow with Bilko and Jade. That's for Sunshine Coasters. I'll also be on Triple M Bendigo with Cogsy and...
Now, Mark, I've heard word that you and I are competition. I do 2AY in Albury, Wodonga, and I hear you do Triple M or something.
I do, and much better than you.
I drop the goods, mate. Now that I know I've got competition, I give them gold. Good old 2AY.
They don't care. The other thing that I'm on is 4BC Afternoons. This Friday afternoon, I'm going to be talking entertainment with some guy.
Yeah. Mark's joining me. So listen for that. If you think things get loose here, wait until we're live on radio.
Robbo, I think your invitation was lost in the email.
Did you not get the invite, Rob?
I think, like most of the audience, I fell asleep during that whole last 5 minutes of it. So if you welcome back. Wakey, wakey.
Oh,
wakey, wakey. We're ending the show. Thanks so much for listening to TV Black Box. It's where the people in the industry get their news. Thank you to Robbie. Thank you to Mulkey. We'll see you next week at 7 p.m. Bye-bye now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.